It's kind of scary when preachers get mad about people singing about the goodness of God. They upset because somebody wrote it that wasn't like them. Am I all right? We live in a world today where the brethren they'll use anything to divide us and divide each other. It's ridiculous. And anyhow, I had one of the guys on there. I seen this is months back, but he said, if God's goodness is having to chase after you, if it's running after you, you need to slow down. Well, hold on. He acted as if the person that was running was in the wrong about that song. But I'm reminded that in Psalm chapter number 23, David finishes that psalm and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm about in a hurry to do everything. So I imagine that sometimes God's goodness is having to run after me. All right. All right. Nehemiah chapter number 7. And I was going to let Nehemiah in, but anyhow, we can't do that yet. And because I feel like we need to address this. So find your place in Nehemiah chapter number 7. We'll read the whole chapter. There's only 73 verses. And anyhow, I'm just kidding. I am not reading the whole chapter, all right? You are safe. And because mainly the whole chapter, a lot of the chapter, a majority of the chapter is names, which none of us can pronounce, all right? And so anyhow, we're going to avoid that part of Scripture, all right? So y'all stay with me, and we'll be in Nehemiah chapter number 7. How many of you found your place there? Say amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go up into chapter number 6 since you're there, all right? We're going to hit one verse, and then we're going to go back to Nehemiah chapter number 7. So I want you to go back up into Nehemiah chapter number 6, and in verse number 15, the Bible says this, so the wall was, say it with me, finished. All right. And going back to Nehemiah chapter number 7. I want to make sure that you understood that at this point in time, the wall is finished. It's complete. Okay. It took 52 days to do that. We talked about that last week. And we talked about in less than 2 months, they built the walls of Jerusalem back, so that the enemy could not breach them, all right? We're told that the only thing that wasn't done at this time, was the gates weren't put on. But the walls were finished, all right? Stay with me. So we move into chapter number 7, and let's start reading in verse number 1. It says, now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. I'm going to stop right here. I said, and when we went back into chapter number 6, we seen the walls were finished, but the doors weren't. In chapter number 7, the very first verse, we see that the doors or the gates were all set at this time. So at this time, all right, Jerusalem is completely safe and secure. The walls are built, the gates are installed, and it is a secure city. Okay, this was the burden that was laid on Nehemiah's heart, burden, a godly burden. This is something that he prayed about and he acted upon, and he was the one that God used to build back the walls. And we've been talking about that throughout the last few weeks, 5, 6 weeks, whatever it's been. We have been talking about his burden and his desire to build back the wall, and God empowering him and using him to do that. Now we're in chapter number 7, and in the very first verse, the walls are complete. The gates are up. Listen to me. The job is finished. Okay? The job that God sent him to do is complete. All right? Matter of fact, if we got to this point and we would say, whew, hallelujah, it's over. Right? But it's not. Everybody stay with me. The fact of the matter is that just because you've built something in your life and just because you've accomplished something in your life doesn't mean that the task of maintaining it doesn't come into play. You build a house, somebody help me. You got to maintain it. All right. My wife, we built here, got in our house back in November, and we decided to paint it a color that was close to white, and alabaster, I believe, is what we painted the house. And anyhow, we have found out that every bug in Lowndes County, every bug in the state of Georgia, every bug even from California and over there in Africa, they like that color as much as we do. I mean, you come to my house anytime and you will see love bugs, gnats, I mean, everything up on the house. And so anyhow, Michelle said, I want the house to look clean. I want to pressure wash the house. So I taught Michelle how to run the pressure washer. Somebody say amen. Hey, if you do it for her, man, she won't learn anything. But when you teach, you know what I say? Catch a fish and he ain't done. But if you teach a man how to fish, I taught her how to crank that thing. I taught her how to run that thing. I mean, is everybody all right? And she did it. She did ask me to help her. She's trying to ruin my sermon illustration. But anyhow, she wanted to let you know that I wasn't making her do nothing. That's what that was all about. But anyhow, the house got cleaned and all of these things. And of course, now I've got all kind of problems because she was out there doing it. All right. But anyhow, that's another story. The point is that we have to maintain things that we build. How about a relationship? I need some husbands and wives to say amen right here. You have to work to maintain a relationship. This whole idea of I hate this thought, is there's one person out there for everybody. No, there's not. I need somebody to help me. There ain't that one fish in the sea, all right? You marry anybody, listen to me, don't get mad at me right here, but marriage takes work. Takes work. I don't care who you marry. I don't care if y'all don't even like one another. You can still make it work. But it takes maintenance. Is everybody all right? You got to maintain. You can't just say I do and then take off. Michelle's daddy, he says this all the time and I love it. And I never use it on Michelle because she'll hit me. But anyhow, he says all the time, he says, they asked him, somebody asked him one time about how much he said he loved Jewel. Yeah, that was his wife, Jewel. He said, I told her I loved her on the day I married her. And he said, if anything changes, I'll let her know. Hey. I don't know how they had a perfect marriage, but they did. I mean, it just worked for them, all right? But for the rest of us fellas, we got to tell her we love her all the time. Somebody help me. I mean, if I walk out of Michelle's office, I got to say I love you. Is everybody all right? If I walk out the door to work with the dogs, I got to say I love you before we walk out the door, all right? And I don't mind that at all because I do love her and she loves me, but I think she does. But anyhow, we have to work to maintain, or we'll lose what we've built. Is everybody with me? And this is what we're going to deal with tonight, is maintaining maintaining, I still can't see it. I don't know why I can't. All right, let me look at it. Maintaining the walls of integrity in our lives, all right? So let me get back to where I'm at, and we'll get into this in Nehemiah chapter number 7, all right? So we read the first verse. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man, and feared God above many. Now, this ain't the first time we've heard this guy's name. We met him back in chapter number 1. He was the one that told Nehemiah about the state of Jerusalem. And after the walls are complete, the first thing that Nehemiah does is give him, all right, the charge over keeping the walls secure. Is everybody with me? And he did this, the Bible says, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. The Bible goes on in verse number 3 and said, and I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. In other words, don't open the gates at night. That's exactly what he's telling them right there, all right? If an attack was going to come, it was going to come in the dark. And so one of the rules, one of the standards that Nehemiah instructed them was do not open the gates at under any circumstances until the sun be hot or until it is daylight, all right? And you have to remember, there's a lot of people that weren't happy about Jerusalem being a secure city again. And so attacks were going to come. Just because you built something doesn't mean the enemy's going, oh, well, I can't do nothing now. I guess I'll just give up. All right, they tore down the walls once. I need y'all to hear me. They tore down the walls once. They burnt the gates once, and they aren't above doing it again. All right, and so he says, let them shut the doors and bar them. All right, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. And we'll get into that. I ain't going to go to it, but you've heard that phrase before when they were building, and we'll talk about that just here in a few moments. In verse number 4, let's continue on. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not built, or builded, all right? And so we're going to start tonight with them four verses. Let's do one more verse. Let's go to verse number 5. And my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein. And so this is the same genealogy and register of the people that were in Jerusalem that we have read about in Ezra. If you've read the book of Ezra, it's the same one. And what this is a register or a census, if you will, of the inhabitants of Jerusalem prior to the Babylonian captivity, all right? This will start taking place in verse number 6 and go all the way through verse 63. And it'll be name after name. 42,000 names will be on this thing, all right? So, not 42,000 names. There's 42,000 people represented by family names from verse number 6 to verse 63, all right? But tonight, I want to take a look at this passage of Scripture, these few verses. I'm going to read another verse here later, but these few verses that we've already looked at and a couple of more later, and I want to talk to you about maintaining the walls of integrity in your life. How do we do that, preacher? I want you to notice four things, and I'll be done, all right? Number one, there must be godly authority in your life. All right, now we don't like to hear that, and the fact of the matter is that most of us love our independence, and if we could, we would deem everything an anarchy. Can I get a witness right there? Don't lie to me. Don't lie. You do not like to have somebody telling you what to do. Come on, help me now. Some of your own businesses because you don't like somebody telling you what to do, all right? We do not like that. We have never liked that. We didn't like it as children. I didn't like it as a child. I know at 17 years old, I moved out of my mom and dad's house because I got tired of somebody telling me what to do. Amen. And before any of you teenagers are thinking about doing that, you would never make it. Hey, they don't make kids like we were. I need somebody to help me. We actually could do something without looking at a phone. I need a witness, amen. But anyhow, before you start thinking about it, I'm going to move out at 17 years old. You probably don't even know how to tie your shoes yet, so stay home, all right? But the fact is that in this saying, if you and I are going to maintain what we have built up, we're going to have some godly authority in our life. We can't just go through life on a whim, and we can't just go through life following any and every little wind of doctrine or whatever that's being thrown out there. We got to have solid, godly authority in our lives, and that godly authority will point us where? To God's Word. The only authority that you and I have is God's Word. I need everybody to look up here, all right? That's the only authority. That's what this church is based off of, is the Word of God. And you have to have that kind of authority, that kind of godly authority in your life for you to grow spiritually and be able to maintain what God and you are building in your life. Man, the church is so looked down upon. I don't want to have nothing to do with a church. I'll just go to church whenever I want to. I'll do this whenever I want to. But you and I need the church. You and I, every single one of us, need somebody with somebody in our life that's a godly authority in our life. Even I need people that are godly authorities in my life. People that I can call, people that I can ask, people that I can talk to. Everybody has to have that. Why? It's a necessity for me to maintain what God is building in my life. Because if I'm left to myself, I'll be just like the Israelites back in the days of the judges. They did everything that was right in their own eyes. And when you and I start doing that which is right in our own eyes, we'll find out that it is wrong. And we need godly authority. We need somebody, y'all, is everybody all right? We need somebody that'll come in on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, on a Tuesday night, or whenever we open up the Word of God, and that will challenge us not to continue doing what we're doing. I hear this all the time. Preacher, you sure stepped on my toes. Good. I did my job. I did my job. Listen, you don't need Joel Osteen. I need somebody to hear me. And I hate to even talk about the man. I don't know him well enough to talk about him. But I will say this. I do know enough about him to know this, that you need somebody that's not pumping you up and pep rallying you. You need somebody to say, hey, you can do better. And I do too. I do too. I need that in my life. I need somebody that says, you know what? What you're thinking about doing ain't right. And you, I need, we need that. We need that. We need godly authority in our life. And we find that in godly men, godly women, our Sunday school teacher, whatever. But we need godly authority in our life. It's seen in verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, Nehemiah, that I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. He had to put somebody over. Listen, everybody look at me. Somebody had to be over this thing. Because if you don't have leadership, then you have chaos. Is everybody with me? A lack of leadership is a vacuum that's formed or that's filled with chaos. And so Nehemiah, the very first thing that he does is he says, hey, I'm going to appoint somebody that'll have the charge over Jerusalem. Now that's not to the, and this is not by no means meaning that you need to be under somebody that's ruling you and putting a thumb on you or anything of that nature. So please don't take it that way. But you and I need godly authority in our life. And Nehemiah recognized that. And that was one of the first things he did after the walls were finished. He appointed somebody and gave them the charge over the city. And I want you to notice the qualifications of the man. He was faithful. He was faithful. A lot of us is turning to people that won't even go to church. I need somebody to help me. A lot of us is turning to folks and asking advice from people that won't even go to church. Listen, I don't care. I don't care what they say to you and to your face. If their actions don't prove them to be a godly individual, you need to be careful about what advice you're taking from somebody. There's a lot of people that are respectable in the church, but take a look at their faithfulness to the church. Let that factor in as to whether or not you allow them to lead you in any direction. I said this many times. I say it with the Bible college. I reward faithfulness. I believe that's what God rewards, is faithfulness. And here we have Hananiah being appointed and given the charge over Jerusalem. Why? Because he was a faithful man. But not only that, because he feared God. You need to be careful who you let as a spiritual authority in your life. They need to be faithful, but they need to fear God. Is everybody all right? I ain't talking about running around scared. I'm talking about having a godly reverence to the point that they will serve God no matter what anybody else says about it. If you're going to have somebody to lead you and the standard is the word of God, then you're going to need that person that will stand up to the standard. The best of their ability. Is everybody with me? So to maintain what you're building, you need godly authority. Faithful men, fearful men. Stay with me now. Is everybody all right? There's too many people trying to build their house without the church. Why ain't my marriage working? Well, you're taking God out of it. I'm going to move over on this side. Why ain't my marriage working? Why are we struggling so hard in marriage? Why is it so hard? Because you've taken God out of it. You're trying to do it on your own. That y'all remember that threefold cord? Everybody all right? That threefold cord? We all need it. The husband, the wife, God the center. Need somebody to help me. So, well, why ain't our family getting closer to God? Because you're not doing the things of God. You're not submitting to godly authority. Is everybody all right? How many of y'all have ever heard of the triangle? Put God at the top, husband over here, wife over here. As they move closer to God, they get closer to each other. Godly authority. So here's the question tonight. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Number two, y'all ready? Are y'all sure y'all ready? Y'all got real quiet on me on that godly authority. Man, look, I understand that there's been churches that have hurt people. I understand that there's been people, pastors that have hurt churches and taken this and taken that and this side and the other. But that doesn't alleviate us from the responsibility of placing ourselves under godly authority. Allowing God to maintain and help us to maintain what God's built in our life. Number two, y'all ready? It's worse than the first one. Not only we need godly authority in our lives if we're going to maintain the walls, but we need godly, let's see what I wrote, godly accountability. I told y'all wouldn't like it. Godly accountability. Here in verse number three, the Bible tells us this. It says, "And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them." All right. So we need godly accountability in our life. We built something. Now we have to be accountable for what we built. He didn't say, hey, the walls are up. Y'all can forget about it. Everything's safe. Just go back to living your normal life and don't worry about anything. No, he said, you need to be careful what you let into your life. He said, don't open up the doors at night. Wait till the sun's up so you know. In other words, have a clear understanding of what you are allowing into your life before you open up the gates. And he says, and if it doesn't belong in your life, then you shut the doors and bar them. I need somebody to hear me right now. We got Christians that are allowing things into their life and wondering why in the world their life is in a mess. It's because you have allowed entrance into your life. I preach this to the teenagers and I tell them, the people, the paces, the things that you do, you are allowing things into your life that will take you away from God. And we do it through eye gate. We do it through an ear gate. I need somebody to help me. We're listening to things we ought not be listening to. We're looking at things we ought not be looking at. We're inviting things into our life that we have no business in our life if we are going to maintain our walls. I need y'all better help me. I know I'm right. We got couples inviting people into their life and allowing people to come into their life, and those people are the ones that are tearing up their marriages. We're looking at things. Porn's one of the things in our society that's running rampant among men. People are literally inviting things into their life that'll destroy their life. And then don't come to church. Man, I've got a recipe for disaster. Y'all say amen. It's a recipe for disaster. I'm not going to go to church, and then I'm going to allow things in my life that ain't got no business in them, and then I'm going to question God on why is I allowing all this to happen to me? God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, why is my marriage, why is this happening? Why is everything failing in my life? Hold on. Before we start blaming God for everything, let's take godly accountability. What are you allowing into your life? I need somebody to hear me tonight. You need to learn how to be disciplined enough to say, I'm not going to allow that in my life. It ain't worth the damage that it would cause to me. It's not worth the damage it would cause to my spouse. It's not worth the damage it would cause to my children. So I'm not going to open a gate. I'm going to close the gate on it. I'm going to bar the gate and make sure that it doesn't. Y'all got to help me. Y'all got to help me. We live in a society where it's not your fault. People run off a cliff and blame somebody for not having a gate up. Is everybody all right? I mean, we blame everybody for everything else when the bottom line is it is your responsibility. You are the one that's accountable for this. Nehemiah said, set a guard, set a watch. And he told them in verse number three at the end of it, he says, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In other words, don't go out and hire people. Is everybody seeing this? He says, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who better to protect what you've built than the ones on the inside of the building? Everyone in his watch. That means all of us are responsible. Is everybody all right? All of us are responsible. And it says, and everyone to be over against his house. That means you're responsible for what's in front of you. Say, well, so-and-so, they're doing it. If we are going to maintain what God has built in our lives, we're going to have godly authority in our life, and we're going to have godly accountability. It ain't good enough just to be accountable to the preacher. Boy, we live in a day and time where people sin unless they're around the preacher. People sin unless they're around church people. I'll never forget, me and Michelle, we pulled in for sushi one day, and I told this story, and it's still funny. Every time I tell it, it's still funny. We pulled in the sushi, and there was a woman that goes to this church. She doesn't go here anymore. But she was standing in the parking lot, and she was smoking her a cigarette. And that red avalanche come pulling in there, boy, into that Japanese restaurant for lunch. And I come wheeling it in there with me and Michelle, and she's smoking a cigarette. And when she seen me, she said the word. I'm not going to repeat it, but you know what I'm saying. She was busted. Is everybody all right? That cigarette flew behind her back. I need somebody to help me. Don't act like you ain't never done it before. And she's just a fan in that cigarette as my truck went by. Michelle said, are you going to stop and talk to her? I said, no, I ain't going to stop and talk to her. I said, she has been had. She done it. It was hilarious. Me and Michelle, I said, I waved at her and we went on and we come in and we walked into the restaurant and I waved over there at her. She done put the cigarette out and everything else. God done crawled all up in her business. She comes walking in there, me and Michelle's sitting down, and we're getting our food and everything else, because it took a while, because she had to get rid of that smell. You know what I'm talking about. So, man, me and Michelle's sitting there, and all of a sudden, Chanel number 5 come walking through the door. You smell that heifer over, hey, you can smell her over Japanese cooking. Is everybody all right? She come rolling right up there to our table and sat down right next to me or Michelle. I can't remember what one. How are y'all doing? Well, we are doing great. How about you? Well, she sat there and talked to us, and she walked out, and I thought to myself, good Lord, people think that they got to worry about me. Look at me. I don't care what you're doing. That's between you and God. I'm going to preach what you ought to do, and if you choose not to do it, that's between you and the Lord. I respect a man more for lighting up a cigarette and cussing me out than I do for hiding one. Is everybody all right? Be who you are, at least. Be accountable. It ain't me you got to worry about. One day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account for your family, your life, your building. You'll give an account for God, to God about it. So if we're going to maintain the walls in our life, we got to have godly authority in our life. We got to have godly accountability in our life. We got to have godly adoration in our life. This is cool. Let's go back up to verse number one, can we? Verse number one, I kind of skipped over this because I don't know. I just where it fell in my mind while I was writing it all out. But it says, now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters. Now, the porters were the gatekeepers. That's what that word porters means right there, is it's the gatekeepers. But I want you to look at the next few words here. And the singers. And the Levites were appointed. We look at this passage of scripture, and the very first thing, he sets the walls, he sets the gates, and the very first thing, he puts gatekeepers over it, and then he appoints singers and Levites. Levites, look here, were ministers in the temple. They weren't the priests. Although some of them were, more appropriately, they were the ministers. Stay with me. You and I, if we are going to maintain what we have, what God is building in our life, we're going to have godly authority, godly accountability, and godly adoration. We have to have an appointed time of worship. An appointed time of worship. Everybody look here. We go to church based off of whether or not it's convenient. I'm going to say it on this side. See, y'all ain't liking it, but it's the truth. We go to church based off of whether or not it is convenient for us. If it's not convenient, if there's something better, then we'll have Sunday fun day instead of church. Is everybody all right? We put a sign-up sheet out there and ask everybody to sign up, and you'll wait till the last minute. You know why? Something might come up that's better. Come on, y'all. Don't get quiet on me. I really ain't even trying to be funny right here. The fact of the matter is that some of us are wondering why our families are in the shape that they're in. It's because you as a parent don't have an appointed time for worship. Taught your kid that church ain't important. Church is one of those things that we go to if it is convenient.
That's right.
As long as we don't have anything else to do, we'll go to church. But if something better comes along, we'll just, you know what I mean. God ain't going to miss us one Sunday. You're right. God's not going to miss you one Sunday. Is everybody all right? But what kind of standard are you setting for your children? Children gets grown, they're not in church. Well, I took them to church. Yeah, but you taught them that church wasn't all that important. It was optional. Listen, listen, stay with me. We're living in a day and time where church, we were told back in 2020 when COVID hit, we were told that it is important. It is essential. That liquor store over there stays open. We told them that it is essential that Walmart stays open. Let me tell you something. There's more things you got to worry about catching at Walmart than COVID. I need somebody to help me. But we have taught them. They told the whole world that the liquor store was important, that Walmart was important, and that church would get you killed. Don't be gathering up at the church. Don't you dare get together at the church. But here's the thing. They really didn't have to push that and tell us that. Because the testimony of Christians already proved it's not essential. We go to church as long as it is convenient. Well, I'd go to church, but he preaches too long. I go to church, but every time I go, I feel like I got beat up. Maybe it's time for you to change your life. Maybe some, if you're constantly being beat up at church, maybe it's time. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. I'll be honest with you. I like it. I like a preacher that challenges me. I remember when Brother Jason Holly come here to preach our revival. I remember he got up and about 10, 15 minutes into that thing, I hated his guts. I was like, if that joker ever sits down, he'll never preach at this church again. Then about 30 minutes into it, I'm like, God, I was wrong. Then about 45 minutes into that thing, I was, God, please forgive me. This is the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. Is everybody all right? It's the kind of preaching I need. It's the kind of preaching you need. We need godly adoration. We need an appointed time of worship. Dalton, I'm going to ask Dalton a question, and he ain't been prepared for this or anything else. But Dalton, it ain't tough. It ain't a Bible question. But did you have an option when it came to church? Never. So my youngin' don't want to go to church. Good, bring them. They need it bad if they don't want to go. I need somebody to help me. Well, that guy, and listen, you can't let, look at me. All parents, look at me. I've raised three. They're bad kids, all right? They're all bad kids, okay? So don't think you're going to have a good kid. But anyhow, I told them last night we were doing the doctrine of angels. And angels can't reproduce. So there's no more angels being made. Some of y'all needed to hear that. Wake up. No more angels being made. Everybody, they ain't little angels. They're human beings that are possessed by demonic spirits. I'm just kidding. I'm starting to sound like Greg Locke. But anyhow, in this, there's godly adoration. It's an appointed time of worship and an appointed time of ministering. I got to move on because I want to get us out of here, all right? But he appointed singers and he appointed Levites. Not only do you need godly adoration, appointed time of worship, but listen to me. It's very important in your life that you learn how to minister or serve other people. It's real easy. Listen to me. It's real easy to get caught up in being entertained at the church. But if you want your spiritual life to grow, if you want to grow spiritually, get involved and serve. Learn how. Is everybody all right? I believe that Jesus taught on this in John chapter number 13. The Bible tells us that he put off his garments, he took a towel, he wrapped it around him, and he washed the disciples' feet. And he basically told the disciples that this, those that would be great would have to be able to do what he was doing, and that serve. So many people want to be great and lord over people without the serving. Is everybody all right? Jesus said, if your master will do this, then so ought you. Yeah, is everybody all right? I'll move on. But listen, you got to have that in your life. An appointed time of worship. And I believe that ought to be every time the doors are open. Not just every once in a while when I feel like going to church. I'll keep preaching that until God takes me away or y'all kick me out. An appointed time of ministering. Learn how to minister to others. It isn't hard. It isn't hard to walk over to somebody and say, hey, look here. I appreciate you. You know that's ministering? Do you know that greeting people at the door, being kind to people, finding something to do around the church is ministering to people? We live in a world that says, give me, do for me, do for me, do for me, do for me. Christians ought to be saying, what can I do? What can I do? There's a John F. K. that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, I believe I heard a preacher that said, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. Godly authority, godly accountability, godly adoration. And then lastly, this one's going to hurt you. You ready? Godly associations. This whole chapter is a list of names that were inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem before the Babylonian captivity. The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that there were few people there. Verse number 4, there was few people there. So God laid it on Nehemiah's heart to bring this registry. And they read the names off of this registry. And I want to read you two verses. Verse number 63 and verse number 64. All right? So Nehemiah chapter number 7 and verse number 63, from verse number 7 all the way to verse number 62, we have names of families that were in the city of Jerusalem as inhabitants before the Babylonian captivity. We get to verse number 63 and it says, of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife and was called after their name. Now pay attention to verse number 64. These sought their register among those that were reckoned or accounted for by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. Stay with me. Here's what these verses are saying. There was a group of people, a man that was a priest, that married and took another name. And now he was trying to get in with the other priests, but his name wasn't on the register. And so they accounted him as polluted and put him from the priesthood. In other words, he couldn't be. Is everybody right? Look at me now. You need to be careful. You got to, if you're going to maintain what you have, you're going to have godly associations. You need to have people in your life that are God's people. And then you need to learn how to keep people that ain't God's people. Look at me. Outside the wall. That ain't being ugly. I ain't being ugly. You have to be careful who you allow into your life. There's some people that will build you up. There's some people that'll help you get closer to God. There's some people that'll hinder you from getting closer to God. And they spend time trying to pull you away from them. When a drug addict, don't say amen. When a drug addict goes to prison, forced into rehab, goes to rehab, one of the first things they want them to do upon getting out of prison or getting out of rehab is to move somewhere away from where they were apprehended or where they began their journey of recovering. The reason being is this. If they go back to the same friends, they'll get right back into the same habits. If they go to a different area, they have a better chance of remaining clean because they can begin their life afresh with new friends and new associates that do not pull them back into their old lifestyle. Why is it that all of us are shaking our head and saying, praise God, that's right, preacher, when it comes to a drug addict? But when it comes to a Christian and their associations, well, now, if I don't want them to go to hell. Well, I don't either, Sherlock. But I sure don't want my family going to hell because I've allowed them to stay in my life and be too close into my family. Amen. Is everybody all right? It doesn't mean that I can't reach them, but I'm not letting them in. Somebody needs to hear me. I don't know why it's so hard for us. I got saved and I was rough. I mean, rough. We partied. I had a group of guys that I hung out with. Michelle's family was part of them. Her brother. I mean, we were rough. We'd start drinking early and we'd drink late. We'd wake up and start drinking the next morning to get over what we finished off the last night. I can remember when I got saved, one of my friends, which by the way, he's kin to the Musics. His name is Lee Music. He's not from around here. It's not the Lee Music that's here. But anyhow, he is kin to this, the group, the Music funeral home over there, kin to some of those. Me and him hung out. I mean, we was rough. I remember I got saved, and he's part of Michelle's family. He was married at the time. He was married to one of Michelle's cousins. And we went to lunch every Sunday afternoon. This was back when families were actually families. As soon as we got finished with lunch or church, we all went back to Michelle's grandparents' house, and they'd have a spread that covered two rooms. And you ate sitting on the porch in rocking chairs, or you ate sitting out up under the trees in the shade or whatever. I mean, there was people all over the place there. But I'll never forget, I was sitting on that porch, and Lee was sitting there with me, and we'd all, like I said, we were all close. But I'd gotten saved, and I hadn't been around. I can remember Lee, he said, man, we did this. He was talking about them partying and everything else. He said, I started to call you, but I heard you found religion. I remember him saying that to me. He said, I started to call you, man, but I heard you found religion. I said, I sure did, Lee. I found the Lord. I got saved. My life changed. Listen, I need somebody to hear me right here. Greatest testimony to that guy about me was my absence. Wasn't doing the things that I used to do. And he said, I heard that you found religion. He didn't understand what was going on no more than I did at the time, but it's a point of this. God, when you get saved, if you don't remove yourself from those old associations, you'll be acting just like you did before you got saved, before you know it. So if I'm going to maintain what God's trying to build in my life, I'm going to have to guard against ungodly associations, and I'm going to have to make sure that I have some godly people in my life. Clayton Edgy, y'all heard me mention that name 100 times, but what you don't know about that is I'm telling you, he had more influence on my life than any preacher ever had. He was a deacon in the church that took me under his wing, taught me how to read a Bible, taught me how to study the Bible, taught me how to preach, taught me how to witness to somebody. Somebody that lived what he believed. He's still a deacon at the church that I grew up in, got saved in. He still calls and checks on me. Everybody all right? But it's because of him that my walk with God grew. And it's because I walked away from associations I had no business being in.
That's right.
So, preacher, we're going to maintain the walls that God is doing, what God's building in our life. We got to submit to godly authority. Amen. Get under somebody. Whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, get under somebody. We got to have godly accountability in our lives. We got to listen, this is what that means. We have to take responsibility for our own lives, our own protection, guarding our gates, setting up a watch, making sure we don't allow things that ain't got no business being in. We got to have godly adoration, a time of worship. Is worship a priority for you? Or is it a convenience? And then godly associations. You better be careful who you let in. Because more damage can be done from the inside. Everybody all right? Man, I tell you, I have been playing around and jumped up on the hood of a vehicle and hit the windshield. No, didn't bust. You know, it takes, I don't know how many pounds per square inch that it takes to bust your windshield from the outside. But what I do know is this. I was riding down the road one day and Michelle was with me and I got frustrated about something and I said, boom! And it don't take that much to bust that one. Are y'all hearing me? It takes a lot more pressure to come in from the outside than it does to destroy from the inside. So you better be real careful who you let in. Because the worst destruction comes from within. Amen? Heads bowed with me. If you need to come to the altar, you come. Let's pray that what God's doing in our life, what God's building in our life, that you and I will have the faith, the strength to maintain those things. By having the right godly authority in our life, the right accountability in our life, the right adoration in our life, the right associations in our life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Nehemiah, the whole story. God, it teaches us, Lord, of your people and them building back the walls of Jerusalem. But more importantly, Lord, it shows us that there's a work to be done in our life. Many of us are come to you and got saved, Lord, or you came to us and we got saved and we have breaches, broken down walls, broken doors in our lives. God, you began a work. Lord, you used the man of God. You used people of God to help us build back these walls. God, you've protected us from the enemy. God, you have taken care of us. You've instructed us and led us. Guide. You were a guide to us. And a help to us in building those walls. But Lord, just to have the walls built, if we're not careful, God, your word teaches us that, Lord, those same walls can be broken down again. And so, Lord, as we do our best to maintain the walls in our life, Lord, I pray that we take the message of Nehemiah chapter number 7. We'd realize that godly authority in our life is so important and essential, Lord, for us maintaining the walls in our life. Lord, I pray that we'll see that godly accountability is up to us. We have the responsibility. God, you've helped us do the work, but now we have the responsibility to maintain it. And Lord, if we're not active in that, God, it'll end up in the same situation we began. Lord, may we learn that godly adoration is needed. It's not a cliche. It's not just come to church. But God, we're commanded to come to church because we need it. It strengthens us. It edifies us. It builds us up. God, I pray that each one of us evaluate our associations. Lord, I don't want mean people. I'm not asking people to kick folks out of their life, but God, I am asking that people evaluate those people that are closest to them and in their life. And Lord, they'll realize that there's some people that don't need to be in our life if we're building something for you. They're only going to hinder it and pull us away from you. God, I pray that we'll start looking around the church, looking around the people of God for somebody that will strengthen us and help us. We'll step out in uncharted water and become friends with people based off of their faith. People that will be a shoulder to lean on. A time of need, a help in a time of need. God, we know that you are that, but Lord, so many people in this church has helped me and my wife and my family. And God, I want to say thank you for each one of those associations. Lord, let me be mindful of that as I carry on building what you're, Lord, what you pressed upon.